prayer time on Wednesday night. God really moved in the prophetic. And once again, I just want to encourage you guys, I think I probably will mention it even during the sermon as well, but to come out on Wednesdays. However, this Wednesday, I don't believe we're going to be having the School of the Spirit. Pastor Tiffany and I are having to go out of town at the last minute, so we won't be here on Wednesday. We'll send a text message to confirm once we know that for sure, but just wanted to give you guys a heads up about that as well. I'm going to pray for the message, and then let's dive into it to hear what God has for us. Father God, we thank you. Lord, we come to you with open hearts, with open hands, God, ready and willing to learn from you, God, to have you challenge us, and God, to hold up your word as a mirror so that we can see the things in our life that need to be changed. Father God, I pray that your Spirit would say all of the things that I can't say, God, or that I don't know how to say. And God, I pray that you would convict hearts, God. Change us, Lord. Make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so picture this. You get off work and you're starving. You realize at some point that you haven't eaten. You skipped breakfast, you skipped lunch, and you haven't eaten all day long. So you're trying to figure out what to do. You call your wife. She's like, well, I haven't had time to prepare anything either. Eventually, you guys settle on, let's just go out and let's just grab something for dinner. So you go to your favorite Mexican restaurant and you sit down and they come over and they bring you menus and they also bring you, what, chips and salsa and cabbage, right? By the time the waiter or waitress gets back to take your order, you've already finished one basket of chips. They take your order. They ask you if you would like a refill, right? Which, of course, you say absolutely because these things are delicious. You get a refill, and while they're preparing your food, you go through maybe, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 more baskets of chips to the point where, as you're sitting there and you're talking to your spouse and you're just eating chips and not really paying attention to what you're doing, all of a sudden you hear a sizzle from the kitchen because your fajitas are ready and they bring them out to you. I don't know if anybody's getting hungry, but I sure am. They bring them out to you and they get to the table, they bring the tortillas, they bring all of the fixings for it, and you start to look at that plate. You're like, I don't know if I could eat another bite. I don't know. Has anybody had that happen before? Maybe it's not chips. Maybe it's breadsticks. Maybe it's rolls at a restaurant or something. Maybe it's Thanksgiving dinner, and you eat all of the appetizers, and by the time you sit down to the main course, you're completely stuffed. Have you had that happen to you? Raise your hand. Let me see you guys. Yeah, I think this is a pretty universal experience. And the thing that we want to really hone in on today is the fact that if I fill up on junk food, or if I fill up on appetizers, or if I fill up on chips and salsa, it doesn't matter how amazing the next thing is, I'm already full. And I don't have any space for anything else. This is a true thing, not just in our physical stomachs, but it's true in a lot of areas of our lives. You know, you think about kids, especially elementary school teenagers, that spend all of their time playing video games, never get to go outside. And even if they do go outside, there's nobody else outside because all their friends are inside playing video games. Their lives are so full that they never get to experience anything else. Parents can get stuck scrolling on their phones and ignoring their kids. And so I'm so full, my attention is so full of TikTok or Instagram that I have no more room for my kids who are trying to get my attention. It's so easy to eat meals centered around the TV instead of centered around the dining room table, right? And you get so into whatever the entertainment is that you don't have any conversations, and it's just everything is full, and so you don't have room for anything else. And there's a truth that says if we never allow room for boredom, we never allow time for creativity. If we never allow room for boredom, we never allow time for creativity. And I think that even though this is I think this is something that everybody can relate to, the same thing happens to us spiritually. as well. This isn't just a relational problem. This isn't just a time management issue. This is also a spiritual thing that we go through. Because when we live in a world that's filled with media, with noise, with busyness, with comfort, with distraction, there's no room for things that maybe take a little bit more effort. Things like Bible reading, things like prayer, and things like fasting. And so we want God to move in our lives. We want to say yes to Him. We want to see Him do amazing things. And yet, we're too full to see it happen. And so over the next few minutes, we want to talk about this idea of making space for God. And we're gonna look in Matthew chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. But we're going to look in Matthew chapter 6 about this idea of fasting, because it's a perfect picture. It's a completely symbolic act of literally making room in order for God to move. Fasting is intentionally emptying yourself so that you can be filled with something else. Fasting is intentionally emptying yourself so that you can be filled with something else. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus spends time addressing three different spiritual practices, and we've gone over them over the last couple weeks. The first one was giving. And he said, when you give, he said, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like those that make a big show of their giving. Instead, when you give, do it in secret. And what we discovered that week was that God was really challenging us to get to the point where it doesn't matter whether we're in private or in public. Our focus is on God. The same thing with praying. We talked about how God wants us to pray, how God really wants to have that relationship with us, but He doesn't want to be the third wheel in our relationship. He doesn't want us to stand on the corner to raise our voices loudly and pray so that everybody else can see us. And really, we're talking about Him, but we're not really talking to Him. Right? And so that's what Jesus is trying to keep us from doing there. And in the same way, now Jesus is going to talk about fasting, and He's going to say the same thing. You'll notice the pattern here that we've shared the last couple weeks. He says, Matthew 6:16 says, when you fast, notice He says when, not if. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they're fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. And this should be pretty familiar language for those of you that have been here as well, that Jesus each time said, don't do this as the hypocrites do, because when you do it for other people, you've already gotten your reward. He says, but when you fast, put on oil on your head, wash your face. In other words, wash your face, do your hair, make sure that you're presentable, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Notice that Jesus says when, not if. And what he's saying here is that these are normal parts of kingdom living. We've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount and how this is Jesus' discussion, this is Jesus' teaching on what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. Last week we pointed out in Matthew 6:10 that he says, your kingdom come, this is in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, what Jesus is calling us to is Jesus is calling us to live life now as though we were in heaven. To live life right here as though we were already there. And he says, when you're there, you're gonna act a certain way. You're not gonna get angry. You're not gonna allow lust and greed and things like that to overtake your life. Also, when you're there, you're gonna be spending time with God for God's sake, not for other people's sake. You're gonna be giving sacrificially, but it's not gonna be a burden. It's gonna be a blessing to you. And he says that there's gonna be times where you step back, where you set yourself aside so that others may go forward, or so that God can be the center of your focus. He says this is a normal part of kingdom living. I don't know if there's going to be fasting in heaven. I don't know if there's going to be eating in heaven. I don't know a lot about a lot of things about what heaven is going to be like, but I do know that Jesus is trying to teach us something here that has more to do with our spiritual lives than our physical diet. So let's jump into this, and we'll see what exactly Jesus is talking about. So the first thing he says is, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't play pretend. Now, this was serious method acting. This was them. I mean, they literally went without food. So it's not like they were not doing the thing. They just embellished it. They made it bigger than it needed to be. They made a big deal about it. Every time their stomach growled, all of a sudden it was the end of the world. And you could imagine them, you know, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they're kind of, you know, holding on to something. Like, man, I just feel a little faint. You know, I haven't eaten all day long. Maybe that's it. And so they're playing it up, right? They're making sure that they're in their worst clothes. They rub a little bit of dirt on their face. They're trying to let people know. And the goal is that somebody would look at them and say, hey, are you fasting today? Man, that's awesome. I wish I could fast. Or I wish, you know, I'd love to be able to do that. I should have joined you, but, you know, I have tacos at home, and I can't. Anyway, so what happens is these people are doing the right thing. They're making the space in their life, but instead of filling it with God, they fill it with their pride. They fill it with people's applause, and so Jesus says they should have just had fajitas. They should have just had a cheeseburger, because all they're getting out of it is temporary. All they're getting out of it is never going to last. In the last couple weeks, we said if your righteousness needs an audience, it already has its reward. If your prayer needs applause, it's already lost its real reward. And today we're going to say if your fasting needs attention, the reward won't last. If your fasting needs attention, in other words, the things that you're doing for God, the righteous things that you're doing for God, if they need attention, they're not going to last. They're not going to sustain you. Our questions over the last few weeks have been, who are you living for? Why do you pray? And this week we're going to talk about, what are you hungry for? What are you hungry for? Because we all have appetites, and we're all hungry for something. So there's this pattern, again, I already called it out, but I'll just repeat it again, that Jesus says, when you give or pray or fast, don't be an actor, don't be a hypocrite, don't be a stage performer that's only looking for the applause of man. Instead, do it for an audience of one, and God will reward you. And now I think Jesus is going to summarize this in the next couple of verses. So let's look down at verse 19. Says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. So he's just spent, 18 verses talking about rewards that are seen and rewards that are unseen. And now he says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Instead, store up for yourself treasure in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Let's go ahead and stop right there. He says, earthly treasures, like applause and admiration, even money, nice clothes, cannot and will not last. But there is a treasure available that can and will last. There is something that God has for us that can go on for eternity. And it's a matter of us shifting our focus from the people to the Prince of Peace. Right? This is what God wants for us. Verse 21, Jesus calls it out. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So in one sentence, Jesus sums up what we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks. I love learning from Jesus because I tend to use lots of words. And Jesus just puts things so simply and so clearly. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In other words, where you put your treasure, or the things that you're looking to collect in life, or the source of your treasure, reveals what your heart is set on. If my heart is set on applause, and that's the treasure that I'm collecting, then I'm getting the thing that I was hoping for, but I'm missing out on something completely different. I'm missing out on all of the things that God has for me. I'm eating the chips And then I don't have room for the fajitas, right? I'm eating the French fries, and I don't have room for the hamburger or whatever analogy you want to use there. I'm eating all of the junk food, and I don't have any other room. So he says, when we fast, when we fast the right way, we declare that God is more important than my comfort, is more worth than my sustenance, is worthy of my complete focus. So what fasting is, and I'll just take a minute to explain this right now, is fasting is intentionally limiting yourself. It's intentionally setting aside a period of time in your life, and you're limiting yourself from food. You're saying, okay, I'm not going to eat. There are lots of different types of fasting in the Bible. I don't have time to go into all of those right now. But essentially, you're just saying, I'm not going to eat for one or two or three or four meals, and instead, I'm going to replace that eating time with something else. I'm going to do something else during that time in order to connect with God better. So what fasting does is it declares to God that He's the number one priority in our life. We all know that we need oxygen, that we need water, that we need food in order to be able to survive. And what we're doing is we're taking one of those things and we're saying, God, I trust you more than this. I trust you more than sustenance. I trust you more than comfort. I trust you more than all of these things. I'm going to fast. I'm going to give this up because I believe in you and because I want to make you the number one priority in my life. Amen? Everybody say, number one priority. Yeah. He says, my treasure isn't in temporary satisfaction anymore. Instead, my treasure is God and His kingdom. I'm not looking to things that are temporary. I'm not looking to those things. Instead, I'm looking for what God wants to do. If you guys remember, back in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. In other words, they have space available in their lives, and now God wants to come and fill them up. The hungry can be filled, but you can't be filled if you're already full. If you're content, satisfied, or distracted, you're not going to seek after God with the passion that He is worthy of. A few verses later, and we'll get to this actually in a few weeks, we're gonna take a break from the Sermon on the Mount, because I believe that God has been sharing some other things with me leading up to and then coming right out of Easter. But we'll get back into it down the road. But in a few weeks and a few verses from now, Jesus teaches Matthew 6:33, which Pastor Tyrone a couple weeks ago did a great job of explaining to us. He said, Jesus says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you. Now Jesus is saying that in the context of don't worry about food, don't worry about clothing, don't worry about all of these other things. Seek first God's kingdom, and everything else that you're looking for is going to come back to you. So if you're looking for applause, you only get applause, and that's it. If you're looking for the kingdom of God, then some of those other things might come as well. But it's a matter of where we put our number one priority. It's a matter of where we put our number one focus. That's what Jesus is trying to get us to pay attention to. Fasting is an act of reordering our desires. It's an act of saying, I'm going to move down the list, food, water. I'm going to move down the list, social media, comfort, whatever it is that you're fasting from. I'm going to move those things down the list so that I can move Jesus up to the top. In other words, God comes first, even above the things that I might need to live. This isn't about manipulating God. It's not about trying to get man's applause or promotions or anything like that by focusing on the kingdom. Instead, it's about us reorienting and understanding that Jesus is first, and that then all of the blessings, like a lot of the blessings that you were worried about before you put Jesus first, just don't even matter anymore. I mean, that's really what ends up happening is as you start really focusing, the first few times that you open your Bible and start to read it, you're like, man, I got to post this on Instagram because I need everybody to know that I'm reading my Bible. But as you continue and as you work your way through the Bible, that desire to post your Bible reading becomes less and less and less, and your desire for Jesus, your hunger for Jesus becomes more and more and more. So what we see is that we're setting ourselves aside. We're being transformed. Right? This is what Romans 12:2 says. It says, don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed as you renew your mind. And as I focus, as I follow after Jesus, I'm becoming more like him. Is this making sense to you guys? Amen. All right, cool. So fasting doesn't move God then. Fasting moves me to where God is. It's not about me manipulating God. Jesus said in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When Jesus was teaching us to pray, he said, I want you to learn how to align with the kingdom of God. I want you to learn to follow after him. I want you to learn to chase after him and what he's calling for. And then everything else is going to work itself out. But I need to reorient my focus. I need to renew my mind so that I'm focused on him first. And then I can move to where God is. If I could have the worship team come join me up on stage. So what fasting is then, it's intentionally making space for God to move. Whatever you don't make space for, you will not experience. If you don't have enough room in your belly because you filled it with breadsticks, you're not going to get to have the Olive Garden lasagna or the steak that you picked out or whatever it is. You're not going to get to have that thing because you already filled yourself up with these other experiences in life. So God is calling us today to fasting. He's calling us today to intentionally set aside parts of our life so that we can devote those things to him. When we fast, here's a few things to be thinking about. The first one is that oftentimes we fast to demonstrate repentance. So when we're fasting, we want to make sure that we take time to clear our mind, to allow God to speak to us, to show us the things that we've done that have hurt him. We want to demonstrate that repentance before God. And we see this all over the Bible where it's used in both a personal and a corporate sense in order to say, God, I messed up. And God, I really need your help in this area. And it was a way to show and to ask God for freedom from a critical spirit, from addiction, from bitterness, from those types of deep-rooted sins. When we fast, we make space for repentance. We also make space for breakthrough. Of course, we pray, but sometimes there's a shift in hunger that's needed. Sometimes there's a shift in how I'm doing things that's needed. There was a story in the New Testament. Jesus is up on the mountain praying, and he comes back down, and his disciples are trying to cast out a demon, and they can't do it. And Jesus casts out the demon, and then they ask later, why couldn't we do it? He says, well, this kind only comes out by prayer and by fasting. There are some things that are deeper works that God wants to do inside of you that requires more space for him to move. And so by fasting, we open up that area, that we open up that space for God to move. When Esther was being confronted and it looked like the Jewish nation was going to be slaughtered, was going to be massacred, Esther knew that she needed to go before the king to plead for her nation, to plead for her country. And before she did that, she called all of the Jews to prayer and fasting. She said, we've got something coming. This is an existential threat that's coming against us. This affects our very lives. It's important enough that we need to give something up. We need to sacrifice in order to see God move in our life. So fasting is for repentance. Fasting is for breakthrough. And fasting is also for outpouring. Because we create hunger, we align ourselves with the Spirit of God, we humble ourselves before him, and we ask God to fill us up. And what happens in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 is Jesus says that, let me just read it, let me find it really quick. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. I don't know if you've looked around America. I don't know if you've watched the news lately. I don't know if you've driven around Moses Lake at all. Our land needs healing. Our area, our country needs restoration from God. Our world is so full of tension, division, strife, anger, malice, all of these different things. Our world, our land needs healing. And so sometimes God calls us not to pray and fast for ourselves, but to pray and fast for other people. We're praying, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just a couple of practical tips. Some of you guys have expressed to me before that you can't fast or you won't fast because of a medical condition. It's perfectly okay to call your doctor's office. Say, hey, is this a good thing for me? And then figure it out from there. Fasting doesn't have to be food. There's a story in the book of Daniel about where they choose not to eat the choice foods from the king's table, but instead they basically just eat vegetables and some other things. And that is called a fast in the Bible. So there are ways that you can do fasting that don't require complete abstinence from food. When Tiffany and I fast, we fast every Wednesday. We fast from evening to evening instead of from morning to morning. And this is actually, follows the Jewish calendar. The ancient Jews, their day started in the evening and then went till the next evening. And so that gives us space, 8, 9 o'clock at night, we can have something before bed so that we're not laying in bed starving. This is, something that we do. It's not something that everybody has to do, but just an idea for you. When your stomach starts growling, I want you to say a quick prayer. I want you to say to God, God, thank you because you've promised that those who hunger will be filled. And this is, we're reorienting ourselves now. We're not making a big deal about it to others, but we are taking that time and making that space for God to move in us. And fasting becomes this continuous prayer to God. It's this continuous reminder of who He is and what He wants to do in your life. Of course, if you are fasting for meals, you're going to want to replace those meals with Bible reading and prayer. Okay? If you skip lunch and then you just continue to do your work, you just work during lunch, then you're just dieting. You're not actually fasting. So we want to make sure that we're doing it and we're filling that space with God. You can fast from other things. So remember, the goal is to give up something important to you in order to make space for God to move. One of the things that I've done from time to time is like a social media fast where I remove all of the apps from my home screen. I turn off all of the notifications and I allow, I try to give a couple weeks for that so that you can notice a difference and it makes an impact in your life. But one of the things that I do is I notice then how many times I pick up my phone every day. I don't know if you guys have ever tracked this. I don't know if you've ever paid attention. I think the iPhone, you can get into the settings and see how many times a day you pick up your phone. But man, every time there's boredom in my life, this is what I turn to. Every time there's space in my life, this is what I fill it up with. Every time there's an opportunity for me to sit and think, I turn to this instead. I think that God would want all of us to do fast like that from time to time. Maybe for you it's not a phone, maybe it's TV, or maybe it's something else. Maybe God is calling you to not play any music or talk radio in your car on the way to work. And God wants you just to spend that time in prayer to Him. I don't know what it is. My encouragement to you today is to make space for God to move. If you are planning on doing Bible reading, we do have a Bible reading plan that we're working through. We're going to put the URL up on the screen there. And you can just jump in now. We're finishing up the first 5 books of the Bible. But don't try and go back to Genesis 1. Just start right now and continue on in the story with us. So if that's something you're interested in, that's a tool available for you. I believe there's information back at the Next Steps counter with more on that. Jesus is inviting us into kingdom living. And the truth is, it seems upside down. He says, if you want to get to the blessed life, if you want to get to the area where God is pouring out His Spirit on you, it takes a different direction. it looks different than all of the things that you've been seeking for. You thought that hard work and sacrifice and all of these things would lead to your blessed life. You thought that collecting and consuming and trying to get as much as you can was going to lead to your blessed life. But Jesus has a different plan for us. You see, the blessed life doesn't start with indulgence. The blessed life starts with hunger. It starts with us making space for Him. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand to your feet? And just want us to take a moment to pray right now and to ask God. We're going to sing that song again, Make Room. And we're going to ask God to make room in our lives. The truth is, we need to hunger. We need to learn how to hunger for the right thing. And one of the questions that I was meditating on this week is, what if we became a church that made space for God? That we made space in our schedules, we made space in our appetites, we made space in our homes, we made space in our hearts for God to be able to move. What if we were the type of church that really prayed and really meant, your kingdom come, your will be done here in Moses Lake as in heaven? We said, here in Generations Church as in heaven. I said, here in my home as in heaven. And we started to live that way. What if we did that? What if we were able to make space in our lives for God to move in that way? Father God, we just ask right now. Lord, we choose to make space for you. God, we choose to take even these next couple minutes to talk to you, to spend time with you, to ask you. God, I know all of these people got up early this morning, made their way to church in order to hear from you. And God, I pray that, Lord, I know your Spirit is here to speak to them. So God, I just ask that you would speak to us as we make space for you. In Jesus' name, why don't you lead us in this?